This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Jim and Ori Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Today is Saturday, the 20th day of November in the year of our Lord, 2021. Thanksgiving's coming up on Thursday, which I hope everybody's looking forward to. I know I am. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Good morning. Here we go again.
Yep, Lori's coming on here in just a minute. Should be on in, I'd say, 2 minutes or less.
All right.
But anyway, you know, Rick, there's so much going on in the news.
Yep.
That, you know, things that will have an effect on people that I just don't know where to start. Where do you want to start?
Well, what do you think sounds the most depressing? Let's start there.
The most depressing, the economy.
The economy, the collapse of the chain, the food problems, the new food problems that have cropped up in the last week. Please begin. I don't know, did you want to talk for 60 seconds about Kyle Rittenhouse or not?
Well, I think all of our listeners know he was found not guilty on all charges, and unless they've been, you know, buried deep in a cave or living under a rock the past 18 hours or so, it's a good thing, folks. He should have been acquitted. The prosecution tried to use every dirty trick in the book, and they got caught by both the judge and the defense team. So, that's a good thing. The young man gets to go live his life, hopefully. I do know that if he experiences problems, there's a lot of big money that stepped up and suggested everything from giving him $15 million a year and letting him sit and play video games, which I don't think is a good thing, but to people saying his needs will be covered. So I think the young man will be all right. I hope so. Between the economy and everything else that's going on, our freedoms being usurped, honestly, Rick, I think we're looking at the end of the republic. I don't know what comes next. It might be better, it might be worse, but I don't think there's any saving the republic. What do you think?
Not in its current form, I guess. Although, may I say, its current form is enough to make a rational person throw up on their shoes.
Right.
So, in my opinion, at this point, any change, it's a 50-50, it's a coin flip. I mean, you know, it's either going to be for the better or for the worse. If you appreciate the opinion of Cliff High, and you might or you might not. As we've said before, the man is brilliant, and yet at the same time, he almost appears to be crazy, but then, most smart people that I've ever known have been a little crazy. That shouldn't come as any surprise. Anybody with an IQ over 110 who is at least partially apprised of the situation we have would be in some ways crazy. It's enough to make you lash out irrationally, as they would say in the movie The Santa Claus. So we have I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy who is a broken record. Because the deep state is pulling the same stunt, their plans, of course, are not derailed. They're basically underway. Because their future for you remains essentially unabated. My oratory every week is going to sound somewhat similar, except for the new caveats that occur during the week. So, you know, at one point, I don't want to sound redundant, but there have been all kinds of amazing things that have happened in the last week that you either will or won't find amazing. But boy, Tim and I do. The supply chain issues, including food, those issues are worse now. For those of you that paid any attention, you saw the flooding and the collapse or complete shutdown of the port of Vancouver, British Columbia. It's rough. It's just north of Washington State, right across the border, really. They had massive flooding, unprecedented flooding, which I will attribute to weather warfare, but then again, you knew I would. I'm also going to say COVID is intentional, but then again, you knew that I would. So what happened was...
Well, that's almost proven to be...
Well, yeah.
In my mind, COVID is proven to be intentional.
Oh, not to everybody. You're going to have those queens of denial that, you know, are going to tell you that you're just fear-porning and, you know, that everything's fine. And, okay, that's good. You know, it's about time natural selection got you out from under my feet. These floods washed away the roads and the railways. So there is no access from the port of Vancouver to anywhere to the central corridor, whatever. The western corridor, yeah, they claim was the lifeblood. The western corridor, which would include Vancouver, the port of, it was the lifeblood of that whole side of Canada. The port of Vancouver is so big that it is bigger than the next five smaller ports combined. So obviously there's a problem now. And if you've seen any pictures of this, and I know you did, when these roads and railways washed away, it's not what you think. It produced a river gorge, a gorge. It looks to me like it's more than 50 feet deep, 50 feet, 75 feet.
I would say hundreds of feet deep in some places, the pictures I've seen.
Oh, it looks like the perfect place to commit suicide. But the problem thing is, what I'm saying here is that it's not a question of going out and scraping the mud off the tracks. There's no ground left to put a track on. Same goes for the roads. It'll take years to fill in those holes. I don't even know where they're going to find enough material to fill it in. They'd almost have to build bridges
across. I don't think they're going to fill them in. They're going to have to cross them with those long span bridges. There's no way they're going to fill those things in. Like the highways that look like bridges going over water, stuff like that. they're just going to have to blow them up, I think, and go to suspension bridges. I don't see those being fixed, Rick.
Well, and that may actually be the quickest way to deal with it. That is to say that until it is dealt with, the port of Vancouver remains an isolated island, so at least to trade. So you have you have ships stacking up now out off the coast of BC, waiting. Thought they were gonna offload, but now they're not. And then what you have here to make matters just that much worse is you've got all kinds of dry bulk goods, automobiles, and everything else stuck out there. This is, for Canada, the post-harvest season, and their personal supply of the world's wheat is around 15%, 14 point something. So now that those exports aren't going anywhere either, and like the ministry said, the world was counting on this food, and I guess they probably were. So that's a lot of food not to get to go where it was going to go. And not only is that going to cause more pressure on the food supply and ultimately add to the problem of starvation, the farmers who grew that stuff and harvested it and sent it over to Vancouver to get shipped out, now they're not going to get paid for the whole year. So this is a huge problem from every point of view.
Oh yeah,
and I know you're going to say, you're thinking right now, well, what difference does that make to us? Well, believe it or not,
all right, let's go there, Rick.
Yeah, the United States apparently was shipping out of there as well. Yeah, the United States. They also account for about 14% of wheat exports. And apparently, somehow, some way, and I wouldn't understand this, a lot of it was leaving out of Vancouver, and that won't be going anywhere either. So, you know, now you've got food problems 2.0. And then, of course, you've got farm bankruptcies, of course, 2.0. So that in itself is just that much more of an issue.
Oh, I agree. Now, you know, as far as how this affects individuals, our listeners, you know, there's multiple ways because we've got worldwide listeners. But let's look just at the United States. Now, my guess is, since this wheat can't be shipped out, I know a lot of it's stuck in Vancouver, but what hasn't been shipped there yet is still here. I wouldn't be surprised to actually see a price drop in wheat and barley in the short term. I'm talking about short term, Rick, not, you know, years out. But after that's gone, I think, you know, wheat will continue to rise again like a skyrocket, just like it's been doing for the last 3 months. This is guessing. I don't know this for a fact. But the bottom line is, folks, inflation is going to keep happening. Lori and I have stocked up on hundreds of pounds of flour, and Mylar bagged it, most of it. There's still some to do, using 2-gallon Mylar bags and, sealing it up with a oxygen absorber or two and, you know, sticking it off to the side. Now, we're going to use the flour. You know, it might be because we have to, and for different reasons, either price goes up too high to buy it, or it's just not there. But regardless, we're going to eat it. And the worst thing that can happen is I've saved money by buying it this year over what it's going to cost next year or the year after. So that's the way we're handling it, Rick. Are you doing anything like that?
Well, we whenever I go to a bulk store like Sam's or something, I always grab a 25-pound bag of rice. But, of course, what I'm paying for that, and I know I said this before, not to be redundant, but what I'm paying for that bag of rice is what I was paying a couple years ago for a 50-pound bag. So,
right.
I don't know if you'd call that shrinkflation. In my opinion, that qualifies as shrink magic.
Yeah. Well, it's like you look at a 3-pound can of coffee now. There ain't one. There ain't no such thing. At least not here, there's not. You know, you get a 1-pound, 2-ounce can of coffee for 10 times what you used to pay for a 3-pound can of coffee. Now, I am talking, you know, 2 or 3 decades back, but still, you know, I got a good memory, unfortunately. Fortunately.
Well, guys, you know, guys tend not to notice those things, but the girls tend to notice those things.
Well, I notice them because, you know, it's a commodity, and my whole life has been about, you know, getting the best price I can on whatever the commodity is. And, you know, it's just one of those things that registers with me. You know. So that's one reason I kind of like.
Go ahead. I was going to say.
All right.
Go ahead.
Please. I'm going to shut up, Rick. You talk.
We need this lag gone, man. We need this. This lag needs to be out of here. That Mike guy from Kentucky just threw his coffee cup. But there's nothing we can do about it. I don't know. Maybe Zooming would take this out. What do you think about that?
I'll talk to Sam about it after the show and see if that's a possibility.
Yeah, well, okay. So to the point, I mean, you know, okay, so forget about shrinkflation for a minute. There, to further pressure the food market, we have a story out which is either is or is not true, but it's being reported as though it is, and I'm beginning to feel like everything except the existence of God is a question that I need to I need to vet the sources. There is this weird deal going on where people all over the United States, Canada, UK, New Zealand, and Japan are receiving unsolicited seeds, supposedly from China. And these seeds are strange-looking seeds, and they vary. I saw seeds of something that I've never seen before. I saw seeds that clearly look like castor beans, which would be ricin, which I don't see a problem with. I grow it ornamentally. Just don't eat it, you know, but it is the source of ricin poison. So that's why you don't eat it. The point is these seeds have been examined, apparently, if you believe this, by the Department of Agriculture and have been found to contain invasive insects, pathogens, and invasive species of plants like the Japanese rockweed, which apparently can destroy and or engulf crops in weeks, literally weeks. I guess it must be worse than kudzu. So they ask you to send these packages to the Department of Agriculture or something, but whatever you do, don't plant them. So I saw pictures of various packages of seeds which people have turned in, and one thing that was ubiquitous was they all said made in China. Well, you know what? And like Tim and I talked about before the show, if you were going to prank somebody, if you were going to send invasive anything or insects or whatever, You wouldn't put your name on the package, would you? I mean, you remember that old stunt where you would put dog poop in a paper bag and put it on somebody's porch and light it on fire? Well, okay, you don't leave your name and address with that. So I'm thinking this is, if in fact the story's true at all, I'm thinking this is more crap from the deep state, where they're trying to put FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt in your minds about seeds that come from other places. So in my opinion, this could be another wrinkle in the food supply problem, as they have done a fairly effective job of screwing up the food pipeline. Now, and I said this months ago, if not years ago, they have to go after the seed supply. They just have to. Okay, it's their fiduciary responsibility to do that. And so to that extent, they will use this, you know, how every time there is a school shooting or a movie theater shooting or something, immediately all the Democrats come out singing in harmony about gun control. You can just see it. I mean, it's obviously pre-planned, choreographed, kabuki show, dog and pony show, whatever you want to call it. Well, they will use this. They will use this as a reason why to control seeds. Obviously, the flooding in British Columbia, apparently, you know, the water was so heavy, the rain was so heavy as to be biblical. You know, I will call it weather warfare. I will say it was done intentionally for the reasons of wrecking not just the imports and exports, but also the export of foodstuffs. So, you know, once again, a huge problem for people who have to eat every now and then. So,
all right, well, can I interrupt you just for a second, Rick?
Of course you can.
All right, now what I'm thinking on this, let's say it was weather modification just for the sake of argument, and I don't know if it was or wasn't, but just for the sake of argument, let's say it was. Well, whatever portion of the powers that be that would have pulled this off, it's a win-win situation. You know, it cuts down the Chinese food supply. It puts many, many farmers into bankruptcy so that the big corporations can buy up these farms for pennies on the dollar. And it gives the government an excuse or the UN or whoever with Canada, to come in and further regulate food. So it's win-win for all these big guys.
Well, you left out one important caveat, and that is they're calling this climate change. They're saying that their PSYOP here, their destruction of this area, which I would say was done by military forces, they're going to say they are saying that it is a global warming or climate change, and that we need to deal with that. And now might be the perfect time to bring up the Heartland Pipeline across the Corn Belt. The Heartland Pipeline is a eminent domain problem. What they're doing is basically stealing thousands and thousands of acres of farmland across the Corn Belt. You're talking about, I think, Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, and all this. And what they're claiming they're going to do with this is they're building this giant pipeline to extract CO2 from the ethanol plants in the Corn Belt. The reason the ethanol Corn Belts, the ethanol plants are in the Corn Belt is because they use corn. Okay, so that's the place you'd put them. They're going to take that CO2 and they're going to take it somewhere, and they're going to bury it deep underground in order to save the planet The only problem is that the land they're stealing isn't theirs. So, you know, so climate change, another obvious. So you see, basically, they're playing chess with themselves. There's really not another player at the table. So it's not a win-win. It's a win-win-win. So what are we talking about here? What's the bottom line? Well, I can't believe that you wouldn't have guessed already that I'm going to talk about laying your hands on seeds before they figure out a way that you can't get them. Okay, and I'm just convinced this is where, I mean, it might take another 2 to 5 years before they can actually control all the seeds, but I do believe that they're trying right now, and I have to suspect from all the other things they've done, they will get it done.
Well, I think they will. And the legal work has already been put into effect 10 years ago or more, you know, where there's basically regulations on the book, Rick, that say that you cannot, or when I say you, that means people, businesses, whatever, cannot save seeds from one season to the next. It's one of those things that's not, I don't think it's enforceable at the general population level. I really don't. But they can sure do it, you know, with big manufacturers or big producers. But, I mean, that's regulation is already there.
Well, you'll probably turn in your seeds with your silver, won't you? I mean, when you go down to turn in your silver, you'll turn in your seeds all at the same time. I guess any cash in your pocket, give them that. Well, so I think, we're going to talk about a couple other things, just a little bit about microgreens gardening, and also I want to also say a couple words about Teresa Lisieux. That she would be Teresa of the Little Flower, she's also called, or Teresa of the Little Way. And I want to talk about this amazing man called Padre Pio. Very strange stories. Really interesting, yes, to me. Very interesting. But before we do that, I want to suggest this, and I've heard this idea. I expanded on the idea, but I heard it. Is that we are involved in asymmetric warfare with China. And also, there would be another player involved, and I'm not really sure how the politics of all this go, but what we have is somehow the deep state is involved, and the deep state and China are also at odds. So we've got a real mess on our hands. It's a circular firing squad, in my opinion. But what we've got is the Chinese are offering us a number of problems all at once. They've got they've been slowly closing themselves off from the rest of the world, which is causing supply chain issues. They also gave us COVID as a gift. We have these so-called poisonous seeds, which are coming from somewhere, either China or the deep state. And then we have the collapse of the bond market. Evergrande, this giant property entity who issues bonds, who has been issuing bonds, this will now eclipse anything Carl Ponzi ever did. Was it Carlo Ponzi? Anyway, so many big people, banks, institutions, countries, Australia is so completely in bed with Evergrande that people don't want any Australian bonds. So it is opined. Let's see. So Cliff High suggests this. There is a direct correlation between this and 1933. 1932, October of, we had a collapse of the bond market. But what happened was, is that in order for it to really cause a complete heart attack of the system, it took all the way until May of 33. So we have the Evergrande problem popping up here in October of this year. He is guessing that somewhere around May of next year, all hell will break loose. So, you know, and for those of you that like to sing, now would be the time.
Okay, Rick, hold that thought, hon. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, for those of you that are not familiar with what a bond means, it means that you're loaning somebody money. You're going to, whether it's a municipality, a city, a state, a government, a corporation, when you buy a bond, you agree that you will give these people your money, and for that, you will receive the magnificent amount of interest called 1.72%.
Or so, if they're junk bonds, 6 or 7%.
Well, that's great, but you're still 10% behind inflation, so I'm not real sure.
I agree.
That's working. So what I'm going to suggest is this. If you would like to loan somebody money and then have the entity not repay you, then why don't you loan the money to your children? Why don't you're going to get the same rate of return? The only difference would be is that maybe you'll get a Father's Day present or a Mother's Day present, depending on which loan officer you are. And so, so where I'm going with this is because of this situation, the bond failure, the failure of Evergrande, there are a lot of people who loan them money who are not going to be getting it back. This would be big banks, big businesses, some major entities inside the United States, some major investment firms where you might even have money. So there's going to be a problem. These people are all taking what appears to be a giant hit along with the country of Australia. So what will happen? What is opined is going to, how this is going to play out as I hear it, would be, if you want to believe this, that sometime next year, all bonds are going to be suspect. In other words, people will be afraid to buy a bond of any kind because this thing is going to get so vicious and so obvious that people just won't want to buy bonds. When this actually happens, it will begin to cause a collapse of many, many things. It will be poisonous and systemic. So, and what is interesting, and this comes from Cliff High, I like to watch his stuff, even though I'm not always sure what to make of it, but, I have this saying, take some, leave some. So when I hear something that he says that I think is brilliant, I kind of remember it, and he does have the ability to do a lot of original thinking and or extrapolation of the facts as they are. What he said was this, this time will be somewhat different than 1933 in that in 33, and Mr. Spencer and I were discussing this earlier, in 33, FDR took everybody's gold. He made it illegal for you to own it. They wanted you to bring it in, turn it in, and then at that point they revalued gold and sold it for profit. Oh, gee, we didn't see that coming. But this time, as we go through this very similar scenario, although you should know that the derivatives market is, I don't even know how many quadrillions of dollars. So this explosion is going to be so much worse. But the difference here is...
Well, I know, that, Rick, that I was listening to a conversation, sort of half listening, half not, and one of the questions that came up is, what's after quadrillion? You know, go trillion, quadrillion, what's next? And but I think I heard 45 quadrillion in derivatives right now.
Oh yeah, so we didn't have that. We didn't have that in 1933. So you know, even though 1933 was devastating, and I forget how many people actually starved to death, it was in the millions.
It was a lot.
They don't make too much of it, but it doesn't mean it isn't true. A lot of these, you know what they say, history is written by the winners of wars. So, you know, the deep state is going to bury that stuff. So we will have, when we do have, if we have a systemic collapse of the system because of the bond failure, which is a repeat of 33, the difference is that the derivatives market is huge, but the other difference is owning gold and silver is not illegal at this point. And also, you have the cryptocurrency market, which is another way of dodging the government, the deep state. Now, we have a lot of these gold funds. You know, as I said before, cryptos have gone up 500% every year for the last 10 years, whereas I think over 10 years, gold is down like 4%. So we have these people out there called gold funds. I don't know what you would want them for. But they're there. What they're doing is selling their gold now and buying Bitcoin or Ethereum,
right,
or both, whatever they're doing. Okay, so you know, even the gold bugs, and there is certainly a reason to have a precious metal, but utility is not the same as it is with the cryptos. And this, I will get to Uncle Ben in a minute.
Right.
Don't let me forget to talk about Uncle Ben. But you brought something up earlier, which was something, it was a Coinbase credit card, right? You brought that up.
Debit card. Credit involved.
Oh, well, maybe you should explain that to people who, like me, who never heard of it.
Okay. All right, well, folks, what I did, I noticed on Coinbase, they had a debit card available for free. In fact, they even pay you some kind of cash back into your account. And the way it works is it's a debit card just like from a bank, but you have your choice of funding for that debit card. You can use U.S. dollars. You can use any crypto that's on, Coinbase. That's it.
Coinbase.
A couple of exchanges.
Right.
You know, whatever they have that you own, be it like right now, I've got Bitcoin and Ethereum on Coinbase. Well, if I'm going to go buy something, I select, you know, what do I want to use? Bitcoin, Ethereum, or cash. And I walk into a store, just like with any other debit card, and this thing, you know, the computing takes it straight from my Bitcoin, say. And it's a regular transaction. So I kind of like that idea. I don't plan on using it, but I like having it.
Not a regular transaction. This would not be fiat currency. So this, at the moment, would not come to the notice of the federal bankers. This would be a private transaction between you and someone else.
What it does, it takes Bitcoin and converts that into dollars for the merchant.
Oh, man. Oh, I wonder how. Well, okay, so that would probably be reportable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that takes a lot of the fun out of it. The idea is to do business in private with people that you want to do business with, without having a third party putting their fingers in your food. That's so annoying. You know, remember 150 years ago when you and I were young and somebody,
yeah,
and a government wasn't involved? Remember that? That was so cool. You could go buy eggs from somebody and, Well, you know you're going to be into it when the egg farm was taking Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, it's not that I haven't considered it, but right now it's just not practical.
Well, as I said a while back, it's fascinating to me that you can walk into, and I keep forgetting which, I think it's AMC Theaters, and they will let you watch a movie for Bitcoin. And I don't know, you know, I'm going to have to guess that it does not come to the notice of the government. I wouldn't know, but I would suspect that they can accumulate massive amounts of Bitcoin. Because, like I said before, how you don't know who's in there watching a movie. You have no idea. So anyway, that would be pretty cool. All right. So enough about cryptocurrencies and that kind of situation. I wanted to, before we get too much further, mention, let's do a couple seconds on gardening, and then I'll talk about advice from Padre Pio for all of us. I was talking about purchasing spices and herbs from the Mideastern store in bulk on the cheap, which is exactly what I did, and I told you I did it, and I was all excited and torqued about it. It was a lot of fun. I put them all up in jars with O2 absorbers, and they should last quite some time because they can no longer oxidize. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, in the end, maybe a less hot pepper is better than no pepper at all. But moving along, I got two full quart jars of coriander seeds, and I had some left in the bag. And I was looking at that bag, and I began to wonder, this is coriander seed, and I began to wonder if it was viable. And you know, I'm the curiosity killed this cat more than once. So you know I'm going to look into this. So I started soaking a cup and a half of coriander seed, and the question is, can I do the same thing with the coriander seed that I do with sunflower seeds, and that is grow microgreens? So I'm going to soak them for about 24 hours, and then I will put them on a flat and see if they will sprout. It'll be interesting for those of you that can't remember, coriander seed, most places in the world call cilantro coriander. We don't, which I think is a good thing because, you know, there is a difference between coriander and cilantro. Cilantro is a parsley-like looking thing. As a matter of fact, why they put it side by side in the store, I'll never know. Because in order to figure out what's going on, you got to smell it. You know, so that means everybody's had their nose on the parsley and the coriander. Yeah, it's just, you know, or I guess you could read the sign if you're one of those people. But I don't. What if somebody picks it up? And anyway, so I'm going to grow. I'm going to see if I can sprout this coriander, and then I would have cilantro microgreens, which, you know, I don't know how useful that sort of thing is. You know, you can't, sure as hell can't make a salad with coriander microgreens with cilantro. You could certainly put it in a lot of different foods, especially Chinese and Mexican. They use these things. I should say Hispanic foods. They use a lot of that. But you know, it's just as an experiment. I need to know the viability of this seed. So because, and I wish I had kept track of the price of this, it was either $5 or $7 for 3 pounds of these seeds. Okay, so when we're talking about buying sprouting seeds, you know, we buy them in bulk, obviously, and we buy them on the cheap, and at least that's the idea. And so the question is viability. So I've got a cup and a half of these seeds soaking, so the question here is so is the germination rate going to be 50%? I guess I'm going to make sure I tell you next week, because I will put them up in a flat tomorrow morning, and we'll see what happens. I'm very curious to see what happens, because we also have other seeds there. We have cumin seed and other things that could be grown in that way and sprouted for various reasons. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I must admit I am made of questions at this point. I wanted to talk for a second, if it's okay, about two people, both inspiring to me, very inspiring. And what I wanted to suggest here is that there was a girl who entered a convent, I think, man, I didn't know, at about the age of 20, and died at the age of 24 of tuberculosis. And she was just a girl, really, but made her short life and the way she approached her sufferings made such an impact on the world that she is still recognized for her spiritual maturity. And she is called Teresa of the Little Flower, or Teresa of the Little Way. You know, as a nun, you know, it's doing kind things for people will take on different forms. You know, in my case, I might buy my kids something as a sign of affection. Those ways are not really available to a nun. The only thing they actually own, believe it or not, what do you think the two things that they own that are their own?
I don't know.
Well, they've got a toothbrush and a wedding ring, okay? Everything else is borrowed. So when you want to do something nice for somebody, you've got to use your imagination. So what she would do is she would, for example, there was this nun. We'll be right back with that.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have our break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Rick, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I do. So there was this one nun, and I'm going to try, I haven't heard this particular story in quite some time. I'm going to try to recount it accurately. So Teresa was working in the kitchen. That was her job, I guess, washing dishes, et cetera. And this one nun, for some reason, just did not like Teresa. That's inexplicable. Don't really know. She, this gal was just bitter. And I think the way it goes is she would take the dishes and drop them into the sink in front of her, splashing her so that, you know, there she is working, and she's always wet, you know, because of this gal. What Teresa did is, this would be one of the reasons she's called Teresa the Little Flower. She would find a little flower somewhere and take it and pick it and then put a kind note with it and put it on this nun's pillow. Well, eventually this gal was so, what should I say, felt ridiculous and bad and guilty about her actions. She finally had to quit it. This young lady died at about the age of 24. Her remains were taken to Ireland, where it is reported that more than half of Ireland came to visit. They closed the pubs, if you can believe this, in Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It would take World War II. No, even World War II wouldn't do that. But more than young people and old people, people from all over, came to pray, and many miracles occurred. Padre Pio, I mentioned a while back, had apparently all seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he would know your sins even while you were standing in line to go to confession, which, you know, they call reconciliation, which in a lot of ways is a more appropriate term, because what you really are doing is when you confess your sins and you admit your fault and suggest that you're going to try never to commit that sin again. Your sins are expunged, and so what's really happening there is that you're being reconciled to God. So Padre Pio spent an amazing amount of time trying to reconcile people, trying to straighten up relationships between people who commit sins, which is everybody, and God. This is unbelievable.
Well, you can continue right after the top of the hour break, buddy.
I will. I'll finish it up.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our top of the hour break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.